that we're here today and that you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Thank you that a number of people have given their lives to you lately and have asked you to be Lord and Savior of their lives. We know that you are always faithful. We know that you say that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When we acknowledge you before men on earth, you acknowledge us before your Father who is in heaven. We give you praise. Thank you, God. Thank you for this church. Thank you that Rick is safe. We're grateful for that. We remember Penny today and ask you, Lord, that you will give her healing, that you'll touch her, that you'll give her mobility, that you'll remove the pain. Thank you for Tori and for Anna and for her family. And just ask God that you will show her today what a great God you are. We pray for those who mourn, for Leanne who just was so young and who died this week. She's not part of our church, but just part of the Christian community. Thank you that she had such a deep faith in you, God, and that you welcome her home. But be with those who are left behind and strengthen them too. I think about Marg and Dawn and their family as they're very close to her. Would you comfort them? You say, Holy Spirit, that you are the God of all comfort. So just touch them and remind them that it is well. It is well with her soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want to be obedient to you. And that means we want to follow your word and live according to what you teach us. And so we just, we lift up Paulin before you today too. Give him clarity and let the word of God be proclaimed from his heart, not just from his lips, but from his heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Believers gather together in unity and in love and in faith, something happens. And today, if I share my heart or from the Bible to you on the topic of faith, let it be a time for you by the power of the Holy Spirit to awaken or to stir the faith which is really already in you. So this is not something new that I'm going to share today. There are some misconceptions or some confusion between faith and belief. Well, faith comes from above. It is God-given. And even when I check the Bible, different translations, some translations confuse faith as belief. Faith and belief are interwoven or interrelated. In fact, they are so close with each other in meaning, that's why I think people get confused sometimes. I read one translation, NIV doesn't make a distinction in its translation between faith and belief, but other translation from Matthew 17, verse 20, it says this: in this verse, there is a distinction between belief and faith. So let me read. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, I'm reading from Matthew 17, verse 20. Because of your unbelief, For assuredly, I say to you, now catch this, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. If you catch this, actually you can see here that there is a belief problem here. And Jesus gives something to remedy that situation, which is faith. In other words, a belief problem can be countered, can be remedied with faith. In simple terms, a belief is something or things that we are deeply or thoroughly convinced of. Mostly, this belief consists of ideas, information, and even experiences that you collect over time that form a set of belief in your mind. And this belief can change over time, but faith doesn't change. I said earlier, faith is from above. Don't you agree? It is from God. Faith originates in heaven. So if faith originates in heaven, in order for me, for you to have or to possess it, there's no other way except that you have got to be born from above. You've got to be born from God. You've got to be born by the Holy Spirit. Yes, let me say it again. In order for you to have true faith, you have got to be born again. Because if you are born anew, if you are born again, you are born from above, born by the Spirit of God, God will give you access to Him. Access to the heavenly, invisible realm. That's why one time, I think it is one night, when a professor of theology by the name of Nicodemus, he knows everything about the Word of God, he knows everything about the Bible, he is a Pharisee. One night he comes to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. His head may be filled with the knowledge of the Bible, but his heart, his inner man, his spirit is not born from above. So being born again will activate you. I like that word. Being born again will activate you in the supernatural things of God. Don't you remember in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 3? We are told in that passage that God has given, has meted out, has apportioned, or has dealt with each of the believer a measure, a portion of faith. You have it already. It's in you already. And don't forget that passage, that verse in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. This talks about pistos or pistis in Greek. You don't have to know that. You don't have to remember that. There's no test tomorrow morning about that. But these are the verses. Have faith in God, which actually, that means the literal way of saying that is have the faith of God. Aren't you glad that God imparts or shares his faith with you? So let me say this again. Brothers and sisters, please have God's faith. Faith originates in heaven. I said that before and I'll say it again. Faith originates in God in heaven. And that faith operates above and beyond the natural world. You are a being, you are a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, you are someone who lives in two worlds at the same time. Remember that. Never lose sight of that. You live in this physical, material, feasible world, but also at the same time, you live as a spirit being in the spiritual realm. And that's you. Because God creates you that way. I like the way Pastor Stan encouraged the church this morning to speak, to say, to express, to encourage one another through our words. Now, this is something that I'd like you to make a connection with that, with faith, the one that we are talking about this morning. Faith is spent, just like money. Faith is spent, or let me put it this way. Faith is put into circulation by our words. No wonder the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 18, he says this, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Therefore, choose life. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Amen. Yes, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So every time you speak, actually, you activate spiritual exchange. You activate them. So watch out what you say. Watch out. Just like our brother says. So choose life. Choose life. Activate something good, something positive through your words. I'm talking about spiritual exchange, okay? Not material exchange. Material exchange can happen if you have money and you use that money into circulation. You can buy material things or services by using money into circulation. But in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual kingdom of God, you can do an exchange by using faith. Amen. Money here in life, in this material, temporal world, is what faith is in the kingdom of heaven. So every time you speak according to the outlook of the flesh, every time you speak based on fear, based on flesh, that will conform your body, your mind or your soul, and your spirit to that affirmation. This is a very deep secret, brother and sister. And every time you express through your words faith in God, a declaration of faith, declaration of love and truth, using your words, not founded in the flesh or outlook of our humanity, the power from heaven, from that spiritual realm, also flows. That's why Paul says in Philippians, you know this very popular verse, Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If you say that in faith, that will activate or put in motion life and possibility in you. It's true, brother. It's true. I said to you earlier that money here in this life is faith in the spiritual realm. Whatever you say, money or pero, in Indonesia they say it uang, here you say it dollar, Spanish says that dinero. It's a monetary tool or monetary unit. It's only a currency of exchange. Money doesn't mean anything, brother, by itself. By itself, money doesn't mean anything. Don't get mad with me. By itself, I say, you cannot eat money if you are hungry. If you are thirsty, you cannot drink money. Money is only important because it enables you, it empowers you to do an exchange. So that you can get natural products or services. Well, in the olden time, before money was created, they did bartering, right? I have my cows, for example. I wanted rice. I would bring those cows, and I would barter those cows with rice. That's the way they did it before money was in circulation or was created. So let me say this again. Money by itself is meaningless. It's only paper, right? It's only metal, maybe. The same thing is true. This is my point. Faith, you have it already. God gives it to you the moment you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and you are born again into the kingdom. But if you don't put it into circulation, if you don't do some kind of exchange with God in His kingdom, that faith which is in you doesn't do you any good. No. Doesn't do you any good at all. But if you do the exchange using faith in the kingdom realm, the kingdom of God, in the invisible or spiritual things of God, miracles will take place. You can possess the things of God in heaven, which are already ready there, finished. They are all finished up there. But you cannot pull them down. They cannot be revealed to you. They cannot come down into your life. You cannot enjoy them unless you do some kind of exchange with God using your faith. Faith is seeing those things that do not exist in the natural level, in the natural realm, as if they already did exist. So in a simple term, it can be said by saying, faith is seeing what has already been ready or finished in the spirit realm. Everything is already finished in the spirit realm, brother. healing, restoration, joy, happiness, peace. They are already finished and ready. And you need to receive them by actualizing it using your faith. If you see something in your spirit, and then that will move you, that will lead you into taking some action. Faith has an eye. Faith can see. So if you see that with spiritual eye, that will move you to do some action. And you will see the result. In other words, faith, your faith is demonstrated because of the effect of your spiritual feel. You need to have that spiritual feel. Faith chapter, you know that, Hebrews 11. Many years of faith written there. Let me quote some. Verse 29, about the Israelites. They passed on dry ground through what? Through Red Sea. Moving on, verse 30. The walls of Jericho fell after Israelites circled or marched around those walls once each day for 6 days in a row, then 7 times on the last day on the seventh. Then the walls tumbled down. Walls fell. Verse 31, Rahab the harlot or the prostitute was saved and did not perish because she hid the Israelite spies. From verse 33 down to 35, there's a mention there about those who subdued the kingdom. They obtained promises. They were able to shut the mouths of lions. And they were able to quench fire. And even they received their dead back to life again. Why did I mention all of this? Just to show you and me that the secret to those miracles is only one thing. Their faith in God's word, and they acted their faith. It didn't do them any good, even though they had faith. They heard the word, but they didn't act. No good at all. But they heard the message. They heard God speak. They believe that message. And they acted. Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. They hear the word of God. Faith works in them. And as a result, they do something. Many of us heard the word of God. We are stirred in our faith. And we stop right there. No good. Because we don't act. We don't act based on the word of God that we receive. Faith must be released in order to see its power. It must be released in order to see its operation or its power. Yes, faith does you no good if you don't use it. If you don't act on it, faith does you no good. Just like I have money and I need something and I refuse to make that money into circulation, it does me no good at all. My brothers and my sisters, it is not the proportion of your faith that you possess in you, but it is the proportion of faith that you use that makes it meaningful. I don't care even though you have 100% faith, if you don't put it into circulation, into action, it does you no good. You say to me this morning, well, I only have faith like 60%. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to God. Because the Bible says, even though the size of your faith is not big, it's only as a mustard seed, God can still work on that if only you use that small little faith. Remember that story about a man who has a son needing healing? And confessing to God after Jesus asked him, do you believe that I can heal your son? And the father says, yes, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. He confesses. And that is true. He has not 100% faith or belief. Did Jesus fail him? No. Even though he does not have 100% belief, God can still work wonder and miracle if only that small faith is released. So when you release faith, heaven, God's power, God's love, God's healing, God's joy will flow over, will flood your life. It will enter the room. It will enter the person that you minister to. I'd like to turn your attention now to a passage in last chapter. Last chapter is 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 13, it says this. about three things that abide, that remain. What are those? There are three things that remain or abide. Faith. Second. Hope. Third. Love. Thank you. Praise God. Faith, hope, love. But then it says, but the greatest is love. Very true. This is the thing that I'd like to emphasize this morning. Love is very important. But love is not a replacement for faith. Love does not replace faith. Love is not the remedy or panacea for everything, according to the Word of God. Love and faith have their place in the life of a believer, in the life of a church. Life is like the motivation, but still, faith is the access. Faith is the access or the key to God to possess His promises. So do not try to move the heart of God by saying to yourself, well, God loves me. Very true. God loves you. It is unconditional. I'm talking about love of God. Love of God is unconditional. John 3:16, He loves even the criminal, the wicked, the sinners, the whole world. Unconditional. But the promises of God, my dear brothers and sisters, are not unconditional. You have got to have faith. You have got to release your faith in order to actualize the promises of God in your life. Suppose you are in pain. Suppose you are in sickness. Suppose you cry day and night. You mourn. You shed tears until your pillow is wet with tears. Suppose you have a need. Suppose you are in a very difficult situation or hardship. Suppose your emotion is in such a way as if that is the end of the world for you. Still, God requires faith from you in order for Him to give you a response according to your need. I hope you get this point. I cannot say to God, God, you know, you see everything. You understand. Yes, God is omniscient. He knows everything. He sees everything. He understands everything. And He loves you and me. But if you refuse to operate in faith towards Him, as He says in His Word, I'm sorry to say, you will get no response from him. Faith, of course, should be mixed or in operation together with love. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Yes, God always honors faith, however small it is. In a few minutes, I'll bring this message to an end. What I'd like to say is that faith and believing are how we access God and everything that God has in store for you and me. Can I bring your attention again to that very familiar passage, that verse, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And remember, eternal life doesn't start when you die and then you are transported to heaven. No, eternal life starts here and now when you receive Jesus. And this is my point. Though God loves the whole world, but only those who believe, meaning only those who have faith, only those who exercise that faith will have that eternal life. Don't you agree? In closing, use that God's given faith, brothers and sisters. Have the faith of God and turn those spiritual, wonderful, heavenly realities in the spirit realm into earthly realities. Amen. Those things that you need are already realities in the kingdom realm, in the spiritual realm, in the invisible realm. And they can only be realities in your life if you exercise your faith in the promises of God. Are you saying this morning to me, oh, I'll try, I'll master myself, I'll strive, I'll struggle in order to have faith or to believe? No, don't do that, brother. No. You don't need to. Because faith comes if you hear the spoken or the rhema word of God. Faith comes to you. So my point is, please, brothers, please, sisters, when you hear the word of God, the message spoken to you, make your spirit, your soul, Relax. 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 The more you force yourself to catch it, the harder. It doesn't work that way. Faith will come to you. If you hear the word of God. So take God at his word. That is faith, right? Faith is taking God at his promise. Faith is saying back to God, God, you say in your word. It doesn't mean that God forgets his promises. But you say to God, God, that is your promise. That is your word. I believe that. I take that. You say that in the Bible. You can have faith. You can be confident. Because God or Jesus is he who he says he is. You can have faith, you can be confident, you can add your faith because God does what he says he will do. God bless you all. And I'd like Pastor Stan will ask us, maybe some of you need to express your faith. Some of you need to come to the front. You need to come to the altar. You need to call to God. Romans 4:17 says, you can call by faith things into existence. Those things, what are those things? I don't know your need. Maybe healing. But call them into existence using faith, God-given faith in you. Call them into reality using faith. Name your need. Maybe financial, I don't know. Maybe work-related, I don't know. Maybe peace of mind, I don't know. Maybe restoration, maybe family things. So many needs. Name them. By faith in front of God. And call those things by faith into existence as though they were already. Amen? You can speak. You can decree. You can declare in faith those things because God loves you, and God has given you that faith. God bless you all.
Amen. Why don't you just stay right here, because there's going to be some people who are going to want prayer from you and from others as well. We're going exactly in the same direction, I believe, that God wants us to go in. That was a good word, and you know, it's about, if you got that money in your pocket, you better use it. If you got faith in your heart, you better start using it. And even if you only have a little bit, you think, well, that's not going to make any difference. Well, it is. You only need a little bit. So I'm going to ask a few more to come up. Tola, would you come on up? And Joyce, come up. I want you to pray for people today. And Doug, would you come up to pray with people today? And Karen, would you just come up? There's five of you. I want you just to think of this. And Tim, if you get that song ready that we just sang earlier, that Glory and Praise, we're going to sing that song. And as that song is just being played, I want you to think about what the mountain is in your life that needs to be moved. You can just start playing that anytime you get it up. What is the mountain in your life that needs to be moved? Because that's what the Bible says, is that when we activate our faith, when we put our faith in circulation, that's what you're preaching, right, brother? If you put your faith in circulation, then the mountain will move. Some of you have husbands that don't come to church. They got nothing to do with God. They don't want anything to do with God. It's time for you to stand up in the gap for your husband. Or maybe it's your wife. or maybe it's your children, it's your son or your daughter, you can stand up and say, God, it's time for that mountain to move. It's time for that individual, that person that I love, I'm waiting for that one to come to you, Jesus. And so I stand in faith today, and I activate faith so that that person, the walls will come down, and that person is going to come to know Jesus. So the question today is, what is the mountain that stands in front of you? It could be a mountain of addiction. It could be depression. Like Paul N. said, it could be a job-related thing or a finance-related thing, but there are probably many of us here today. There's some mountain. There's got to be. There's some mountain. There's some relationship. There's a marriage problem. When we stand up, when we come to God and say, okay, God, I can't do this, but I'm going to step out here. I'm going to come for prayer. I'm going to speak this out. I'm going to speak it out. That activates the faith. That puts it into currency. Amen? All right, let's all stand up. I invite you to come to the front for prayer. I invite you to come and just let that mountain crumble. Let that mountain crumble at the feet of Jesus today. Amen. Tim, why don't you come out? We need more prayers. Amen.